Hello, welcome to Black British Girl Talks Crime, Finance, etc., a podcast about crime, finance, and other things. Each week, I will bring you a true crime story or financial advice or just about life as a black girl in British society. Follow along for true crime stories, tips on budgeting or home ownership, and general insight into current events and black British life.
So this series of events starts on April 25th, 1978, in a house in Kansas City, Missouri. Sherry Black, who's 22, John Walker, who's 20, Larry Ingram, who's 21, and Cynthia Douglas are sitting in a bedroom smoking marijuana, drinking cognac, and watching TV. Larry goes to the door with a pistol and answers a door knock, and he lets in Kim Adkins and Vincent Bell. So while Kim watched the door to the bedroom, Vincent joined the group sitting down in the bedroom. Kim walked over and grabbed Larry's pistol, pulling out a shotgun and brandishing it to the group. And Larry asked him what he wanted, and Kim replied, "You know what I want." So Vincent and Larry left, and Vincent returned with a third man and a fourth with a bag over his head. The third man stayed, and Cynthia was made to tie up the others. And somehow Cynthia and Sherry were tied up back to back on chairs somehow, so I'm not sure who tied up Cynthia. Outside the bedroom, the people were with Larry trying to find something, and a shot rang out, and Larry had been shot in the head. And those people who arrived at the house came back into the bedroom and used a pistol to shoot John in the head, and the gun clicked when attempting the same with Cynthia. So she survived, and she was actually the only survivor, and she was shot in the leg. She pretended to be dead until the attackers left, at which point she crawled out the house. So Kim and Vincent were arrested the same day after being identified by Cynthia, and she had a conversation the next day with Randy Harris, her sister's boyfriend, suggesting he was hoping Kelvin Strickland, who was an associate of the two men, was not involved. So Cynthia knew of whom he spoke, knew of Kelvin, as she personally knew him. So she went to the police with Kelvin's name in her head, and a photo lineup was created, and she picked out Kelvin. So prints on the shotgun were not Kelvin's. The prints who they belonged to were never identified, and family members provided alibis for Kelvin, and Kelvin said at the time he was watching television and talking on the phone. So Kelvin did go to trial twice on capital murder charges at only 18 years old. The first jury was hung, and the only black juror refused to find him guilty. The second time in front of an all-white jury panel, because the prosecutor used each of his peremptory challenges to strike black jurors off the list, he was sentenced to life in prison and eligible for parole after 50 years. After Kelvin's conviction, Kim and Vincent pled guilty and were each sentenced to 20 years in prison, serving only 10 years after having plea bargains. Each of them named a different third person as their accomplice, and Vincent insisted that Kelvin was not involved or present at the crime scene and played no part in the murders. So less than a year after Kelvin's conviction, Cynthia told friends she had made a mistake, and she tried to recant her testimony. After being treated for gunshot wounds during that attack, she identified two of four men responsible for the attack, but couldn't identify the other two. And these two other suspects were never charged. And in an email to the Midwest Innocence Project, who actually took up Kelvin's case, she said in February 2009, and I quote, "I am seeking information on how to help someone that was wrongfully accused. The incident happened back in 1978. I was the only eyewitness and things were not clear back then. But now I know more and would like to help this person if I can." Cynthia died in 2015, and she said later she was pressurized by police to identify Kelvin as one of the perpetrators. So in 2017, the Jackson County District Attorney Jean Peters Baker for the Jackson County Prosecutor's Conviction Integrity Unit said that her and her chief deputy Daniel Nelson said that the evidence of Kelvin's conviction had been eviscerated and he is factually innocent. James Bell, the sole surviving member of the prosecution trial team, said the conviction should be overturned. And in Missouri, as in Georgia, once time has run in appeals, you lose your chance to compel the system to fix itself. So some states have laws allowing for late appeals, like if DNA evidence clears someone, but not in Missouri. So Kelvin was still in prison until he was pardoned by the governor, despite their claims that he was innocent. So Kelvin was the subject of an investigation by the Kansas City Star in September 2020, which prompted prosecutors to review the case. And on May 10, 2021, Jackson County Prosecutor Jean Peters Baker published a letter saying she believed he was innocent and should be released from prison. Despite this, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, a Republican running for US Senate in 2022, fought the exoneration. And in June 2021, the Supreme Court of Missouri denied a petition to have him released, and the governor of Missouri might pass and refuse to pardon him, saying he did not see his case as a priority and was not certain of his innocence. So on November 23rd, 2021, after a three-day hearing, Kelvin Strickland, now age 62, was released after serving 43 years. And he found out he was being released whilst watching a soap opera in prison, and it was shown on screen and other prisoners started screaming in celebration. Judge James Welsh overturned Kelvin's conviction since it was not based on physical evidence but on eyewitness testimony by Cynthia, who later recanted her account. And as he left the Western Missouri Correctional Center in Cameron, he said he was thankful for God walking me through this for 43 years. Upon his release, his first stop was to his mother's grave, Rosetta Thornton, who died in August 2021, and his father died in 2011. He then went to dinner with friends and his attorney, Miss Roger Bushnell, who set up a GoFundMe account for Kelvin. Kelvin uses a wheelchair and said he experienced a couple of heart attacks, he has high blood pressure, and he can't stand any longer. Amazingly, Kelvin would not receive any compensation from the state upon his release because he was exonerated without DNA evidence and would need help paying basic living expenses while struggling with extensive health problems. A pediatric practice in Kansas City gave one of two donations of $10,000, and by the Saturday after he was released, so 4 days later, his GoFundMe had raised more than $1.4 million by 14,000 people donating. And what is even so surprising is he was entitled to compensation. He would have received $20 million, as this was the amount paid in similar cases. So I'd like to quote the following sources I use for this story. So Wikipedia, Medium.com, and Sky News, The Guardian.
Get your fix every week by subscribing to Black British Girl Talks wherever you get your podcasts. Any pictures or further information concerning each episode